Greetings, fellow Earthlings, or aliens, it doesn't really matter. It is total Spotfest time. We have an action-packed show for you. We have the card for Journey Pro, we got Rampage, we got news, and something that JJ is absolutely going to love. This is Total Spotfest.
Welcome to, or welcome back to, Total Spot Fest. I am JJ Brownlee, accompanied as I am every Tuesday and every Thursday, and occasionally along weekends in Chicago once a year, by my co-host, Mr. Jamie Faulkner.
How's everybody doing this lovely morning, afternoon, evening, something, what ifs?
Middle of the night. Yeah, I mean, I'm not one to judge. I mean, like Adam Cole, we are night. I am a night owl, so I mean,
yeah.
There's an up, down, down reference for you. Welcome. But welcome to, this is Total Spot Fest. We do appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining. Thank you for watching and listening. If you are watching us on YouTube, hop in the conversation down below. Give us a comment. You can definitely tweet at us at Total Spot Fest. It would do us a big favor if you're down there leaving a comment, though, on YouTube. If you just kind of, you know, meander towards the like button. And you know, while you're down there, you can verbally accost the subscribe as well. I'm trying to be cute with it. I don't think I'm doing a good job.
Yeah. I think you should just put the like button in a lion tamer. I think that's what you really need to do.
I got it because I told you, I'll introduce you to this on our drive up to Chicago, but the YouTube channel 2 Minutes to Late Night,
yeah,
which I'm just in love with. He always does that, and he does it at Guarsenio Hall, that is. If you guys don't know who I'm talking about, go check them out. But he always does, like, really witty, you know, go down there and, you know, and so I'm trying to be cute, but it's not working, so we're going to move right ahead here. So we got an action-packed show for you tonight. We're going to go over Rampage from this past Friday. Pretty solid Rampage, as a matter of fact. A couple interesting things happened. We're going to talk about Impact briefly. There's some news going on. We are going to spend a good amount of time, though, because this Friday is Journey Pro Kansas City's next show. It is a free show. Please donate at the door. They are doing donations for the Wyandotte County Mental Health
and Behavioral Society thing.
There you go. It was long titles in wrestling. They go together. So it's a long title, but it's a very worthy cause. So don't hit the door there. But it's a free show. Outside show. It's going to be beautiful, too. It's supposed to be like upper 60s that evening.
Yeah, like, I'm going to have to wear jeans. Like, it's going to be awesome.
I'm wearing jeans. Still probably going to wear flip-flops. It's going to be at a park. I might wear shoes. I mean, I did get those new sneakers in the mail, actually. So, but no, it's gonna be nice. So that's this Friday, 8 p.m. at Edwardsville, Kansas, at the Edwardsville City Park. Don't know the address, Google it, but Edwardsville, Kansas City Park. Outdoor show. Should be good. Card was released last night. Walter, the big Chiefs fan that he is, during that, hell, I will say this, hell of a game the Chiefs had. Thank you for being the Browns. That does make me happy.
Yes.
Makes me very happy. We'll return the favor next week and beat the Raiders for you, okay?
Well, deal? We're going to beat the Ravens for you, so there you go.
More help is great, you know, but you know, really the Browns, because, you know, the Ravens, we always split with, but the Browns, we feel the way about the Browns that Chiefs fans do about the Raiders, right? It doesn't matter how bad they are, just hate them.
Yes.
Passion. So, anyway, so Walter had said, tweeted out that, you know, during the game, he's like, I swear to God, if we come back and win this, I'm going to release the whole card tomorrow. And the Chiefs did, and the card to the secret show was released, and my God, this card.
This card's amazing. This card is better than I was expecting.
Me too. And we're going to get all into that in due time. So let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's talk about numbers.
Okay.
You get back into our regular rhythm here. I know All Out kind of threw us off and everything, so let's go back into numbers. If you haven't heard about Jamie and my trip to All Out, I'll put a little like the little thing that pops up here so you can click on it. Go check out that video too. We had a wonderful week. It's going to be a yearly event for us, and so
yes.
But let's get back on the regular train of things. Numbers for this past week.
All right, so let's just start with the flagship of the three-hour monstrosity that is also known as Monday Night Raw. It went down in numbers. It went from 1.907 to 1.849.
I mean, I'm not surprised. It's
me either, like at all.
It's a bad product. Put a pin in that thought there. So 1.8 whatever.
Yeah. They may have redeemed themselves by having Big E, you know, cash in his Money in the Bank and win the title off of Lashley. Maybe. We'll see.
Would have, but I didn't bother watching because it's been a terrible product, and I would have liked to actually see Big E win whatever.
Yeah, and I think we are officially seeing the fall of NXT. So they went, they were at 717, and they went down to 601, and they had nothing competing with them, like at all.
Yeah.
It's bad.
This is the first week. I didn't watch NXT this week too, and I've been pretty stick through at it. And I was going to, even though Adam Cole, but I just didn't get around to it, and I was like, see it in my DVR, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, and it's the last of
the shame
old school, because the new Technicolor Dreamcoat version starts today, right? The 13th, or is it next week?
Starts tonight. Yeah. Starts tonight. They have the wedding of Index. There is going to be a new NXT champion.
Yes.
You know, if you want to get into that now, you want to wait till let's wait to the next segment. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, so it's interesting. We'll see what happens. I don't have high hopes for their numbers moving forward. Let me just say
I don't either. All right. So the bell of the ball, if you will, if you were living under a rock, but it's Dynamite. Dynamite had the absolute best numbers. They even beat Raw in a key demo, which I think is amazing. Like, flat out beat them. They drew 1.319, which is an increase from 1.047. So 300,000 people more. All because of Brian Danielson and Adam Cole, Bay Bay.
And Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby.
Yes.
Let's be honest, yeah. Because the interesting thing is, like, I want to say it was Alvarez. I don't remember. It sounds like an Alvarez thing, but they tweeted up the quarter hourly, you know, where the numbers were in the demo for each quarter hour, right?
Yeah.
Of course, the quarter hour that had Colin and Danielson was the highest. It actually almost equaled what Raw's rating was. It's like 1.7 something or whatever, and the demo beat Raw. And then the second highest was Ruby's match, her and
JB Hayter.
Thank you. I think bees. No, Jamie Hayter. They were just a smidge under that and had a demo above 7.7, so they beat Raw as well. So I think that shows good for my girl Ruby. Hey, Ruby. As well as the women, you know, but I mean, it just shows that there's some depth. And to be honest with you, we talked about this on our last episode. Go check it out. It was a very promo heavy laden setup episode of Dynamite. It wasn't their best episode.
Yeah.
And they almost, I mean, they're 500,000 away from Raw.
That's it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I would have never have guessed that this soon that would have happened.
Yeah, that's a suburb of Schaumburg. Like, for real.
I mean, it's crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah, insane. So happy for them right now. But then on the flip side, we have a great product that has a terrible TV deal, and it just sucks for them. And that's Impact. Impact went down from 126 to 111. They just can't seem to get steady numbers.
They cannot find their footing. And this past week, I'll talk about it briefly here in a few minutes, you know. Last week was an excellent episode. Had all the setup. They have a pay-per-view coming up this Saturday, Victory Road, which I'm definitely going to order because I'm not going out. I got things to do during the day, so I'm not heading out to Edwardsville for the free, you know, fall festival.
Yeah,
Journey Pro stuff.
We're gonna try to. We don't know yet because Audrey's got soccer. So
all these girls and all these sports, man. That's right. Yeah. So Victory Road, definitely worth it. I'll talk about it here in a minute. But it's disappointing. Luckily, it didn't fall terribly. You know, it didn't go like below 100 again. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Very, very fair. So SmackDown, though, SmackDown was the only other show that went up, which is kind of surprising. They were
they're Super SmackDown. Remember, Oh, yeah. they were billing this for weeks now. Yeah, right.
So they went from 2.147 to 2.217. So 600,000, 700,000.
I mean, it's up.
Yeah, up's up.
Up, and then it's the highest watched wrestling show for the week. So
yeah, that's a good point.
I don't. Plus, it had Lesnar. It had the Demon Finn Balor back.
Yep, it had everything that everybody wanted. It really did.
Except for a women's match, because there was no women's match. They said, big fuck you to Thea Trinidad and her honor for her father, who died at 9/11.
Yep.
She had like a tribute thing set up, and she was going to have a tag match with like her and I think that Carmella was involved, whatever. And got cut for time.
Yep.
There's no women's match on SmackDown for 2 weeks in a row. Instead, they had a bullshit contract signing. Becky Lynch in a giant red fur. I don't know. That was your women's entertainment.
I mean, that's terrible. Like, Mick Foley even ripped into him about it because he got pissed off about it. And he's in hot water about some of the stuff he's been saying. He's like, I'm speaking the truth. I'm so sorry.
He's a homer. He's a WWE guy. He's just being honest.
Yeah.
And he's got heat all over the place.
If there's one thing we all know Vince McMahon does not like, he does not like honesty.
No. Yeah. Don't tell him that what he's doing sucks.
Yeah.
Even if it does.
Basically, since he's been 20, Linda McMahon's been telling him he's got 12-inch cock, you know? It's just like...
Well, okay, yeah.
You know where I'm going with it. Like, he's that egomaniacal. All right, so let's wrap up with Rampage. Rampage actually did go down again from 696 to 670, so not exactly a huge drop, but a marginal drop. And unfortunately, I was one of those who dropped because I had family obligations. Friday night is just a difficult thing. And, you know, I have girls in high school, so what they do on Friday nights, they go to watch football, and I have to go pick them up and do all those other things. So,
well, I mean, and once again, you know, CM Punk debut was definitely purpose driven to drive numbers to that. But we talked about it. That's a bad draw for a time slot. Cable Friday night, 10/9 Central.
Yep.
I see that changing.
I do too.
And if they really get it going, and let's say, just shooting right now. Let's say that Dynamite gets over that 2 million mark and stays there, right? I could see them moving that up and going head-to-head with SmackDown. Would that be a smart move? I don't know. Because, I mean, SmackDown has the power of Fox behind
them. Yeah. Hell, if I were them, I'd flip it and compete with Raw. Or compete with NXT. Yeah,
I mean, you know, but once again, but then you have the, I think you run into the problem of Wednesday night is Rampage, and they're not going to move it. They're settled in now on Wednesday night. They're comfortable in that slot, yeah, right? Yeah,
Dynamite is Wednesday for sure.
Do you want to do shows on back-to-back nights?
I mean,
I know that they sometimes they're pre-recording Rampage and stuff, you know, yeah, but not always. So, I mean, having that break is good.
Wait,
not just for the talent, but for the fans, for the palate. You know, you want to have a, you know. And so, what do? Maybe do a Saturday, but you do Saturday pay-per-view sometime. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't.
It's one of those things. Like, either the logical spot is going Thursday nights, and that's Impact night, and they have a friendly relationship with Impact. That's just bad business there, but it's the best spot for them to be.
It really is. But once again, you do get those two nights in a row, though. And is that going to be too much? Like this past week, you know, you had, as I said, you pre-record it, so maybe it's not as bad for the talent.
Yeah.
But it could be, I don't know. I don't know if there's an answer to that. I think that the easiest thing to do is just to move it up. Move it up. But then you're competing with SmackDown.
Maybe I mean, if you move it up to 8, then you're competing with the last hour of SmackDown, which is always typically the best. Or
yeah, so
do you move it up, I mean, and do 6 to 8, you know, so 5.
Or you just move it up and say, "Fuck it, let's go."
The Power Fox scares
me. The Power Fox gets, mind you, Fox. I read an interesting story this week that the whole CM Punk return thing came on.
Yeah,
and Fox executives went. You saw it. Yeah. This is great. You got to go check this out, guys. This is fantastic. So apparently, so Fox had talked with like the board or whatever. So it didn't say who exactly. It was just somebody in the higher up whateverness. But this is from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. So Fox and Punk had a good relationship thanks to WWE backstage and some other things. And Fox was pushing WWE to sign him when it found out that he was going to return to wrestling. It's also about AEW, and they're like, "Hey, why don't you go sign them?" You know. And so WWE officials, don't know who this was, right? I said, you know, they said they initially told Fox, I said, "Oh, the money's too high to bring someone like Punk back." And Fox is like, "We'll help. We'll pay for that shit."
Yeah.
And then, well, there's other reasons. See, he's hard to work with. And Fox just immediately called them on their bluff. And it's like, "We got money. Let's go." And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. That says a lot.
It, going up against Fox, I don't know.
I mean, it would be, it's legit. The power of Fox compels you. The power of Fox compels you.
You don't even, you just, you need an antenna and you get Fox. I know. So anyway, that'd be tough, but we'll see what happens. Maybe he's good with this. Maybe, you know, 600,000-700,000 they're cool with. And to be honest with you, if TNT's cool with it, whatever. Cool. I don't know.
I'd rather go up Saturday, but then your go home would be literally the day before pay per view. Like, no one would wrestle that.
No.
Like, nobody.
Some of your pay per views are on Saturday.
I know. I prefer them on Saturdays, to be honest with you.
I kind of do too. I kind of do like it. All right. Well, that's numbers for the week here. A couple other interesting news bits. Talking about Saturday pay per view. There's word going around, so I don't know where this really came from per se, but you know, Wrestling Observer newsletter noted this along with several others who quoted them, saying that the rumor is that Full Gear, since it was moved from the 6th to the 13th, and was found out, is at the Chavez Arena, which is where it was going to be in St. Louis. That they are not open or available on the 13th. I did make mention that there's not a Blues game that night at the Enterprise Center. There could be something else booked, but there's not a Blues game that night. There's a Blues game on the 14th and on the 11th. So if they want to go bigger arenas, they could go there. But what Wrestling Observer is reporting is that AEW is leaning towards Full Gear in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I know, which takes it out of, for me, that takes me, I mean, we're talking about just driving across our state to go to Full Gear, right? Yeah. Easy peasy. I got friends. I would make a whole thing of it. Yeah. I gotta hook up at a brewery, you know, we're gonna have a whole like total spot fest party and everything. But now it's like, I'm not going to Minnesota. Can't. I just did a long road trip and spent a lot of money going to Chicago. So
yeah.
I don't know where that's coming from, and there seems to be no anything else besides just that note. No quote, no source, no even no generic source from what I can see. It's just like, apparently that's what they're going to be doing. That's the rumored, you know, front runner for the spot. And I'm like, that's not a lot to work with.
Yeah, they're going to drive through the night to St. Louis, get it set up from St. Louis to Minneapolis, which is what, an 8-hour drive?
Well, if you go to awtix.com, St. Louis Rampage is still on the schedule there for August for November 5th.
Oh, yeah. So then that next week is open. God, that would piss me off.
I honestly don't know, because it's AW's. It's there's this weird doldrum of unknown, because they got New Jersey coming up, New York, you know, a week from tomorrow. And then they got, you know, there's a Rochester show in there. And then we don't know what's going on a little bit. October's got some stuff. There's things booked in Miami for like a long weekend, right?
Yeah.
There's a Saturday Dynamite that's included in all that. And then they have stuff in December they're starting to advertise and sell tickets for. But around November, it's kind of just like, we don't know.
They gotta kind of get that figured out pretty quick.
Well, you would think. I mean, it's time to make some plans. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. So, there's a. Did you see Bobby Fish got himself a new spot?
MLW.
Yep, gonna be making his MLW debut October 2nd in Philadelphia. Selling t-shirts again on Pro Wrestling Tees. They actually are pretty solid t-shirts, too. I do like the fishbone. They look pretty good.
I'm a fan, so, yeah.
Good for Bobby Fish. We made mention of the NXT Championship. So tell them about the Samoa Joe news, Jamie.
Oh, this one just pulled right at the heartstrings. After the Chiefs had such an amazing game, this happens. So Samoa Joe is relinquishing the title for an undisclosed injury that's going to keep him out for an unspecified amount of time. He cut a promo about
it. Just so you know, I have thoughts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He cut a promo about it and said that, you know, it's going in a new direction, and, you know, he feels like, you know, it deserves a fighting champion with a new direction, blah, blah, blah. But he says, I feel sorry for anybody who gets this, because I'm going to come back and take what's rightfully mine because I never lost it, which I personally think he got another concussion.
Okay, you do?
Yeah.
I think it's all bullshit.
You think so?
Here's my thought, and I've seen this kind of float around a little bit. He was brought back. Remember we talked about him re-signing the onus? He was going to wrestle a little bit, but the big part about his deal was more administrative stuff behind the scenes, kind of taking over, you know, running, putting on shows, stuff like that, right? That's what his contract was kind of like geared towards. And they did the whole angle that's like, here's my resignation, sign me as a talent, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that those weren't official legal contracts on the table. You know, that's all for TV.
Yeah.
So I think they used him, got him a little bit, you know, got him a little thing there. It made sense to kind of go at this angle the way he did it. Pull the belt off Karrion Kross. Bury him, I guess, more. Who knows? And now he's going to kind of work behind the scenes a little bit and pop out every once in a while and do the same thing. Kind of come out, wrestle for a little bit. Because undisclosed, and it's like, he didn't even say it was a new injury. He just said that there's a reevaluation or a doctor's long-term it was very, very gray, any information about him. So that's why I think it's BS, but I don't know. Either way, he's not going to be champion. He's not going to be on TV for a hot minute. And they're going to determine a new champion tonight somehow. So
here, cue Parker Bardot or whatever the hell he's going by now. Yeah,
he has a name. I didn't bother.
Terrible. Brock Lesnar Jr. Or sorry, it's not Brock. It's Rick Pilsner.
That's not right. It was like,
obviously, it was like, no, I'm joking. It. Like, because it sounds like Brock Lesnar.
Rick, there you go. Rock Pilsner, you know. Yeah. From what I read a rumor, I don't even remember where I saw this, but I saw it come across my like news desk today that said that I think the plan is to have Brock put him over when his contract's up, like at the end of it, you know, it's going to be his, you know, final match or whatever, when he, you know, to put him over. So literally replacing Brock Lesnar with a more tattooed version, younger Brock Lesnar. I hate this guy. I haven't seen him wrestle at all.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no redeeming qualities of this guy. He's a Raiders fan, in my opinion.
Ooh. I mean, so he seems like a nice enough guy. But yeah. So, also NXT news, it's a rumored that, we know of Kevin Owens' contract is going to be expiring early next year, right? So apparently it was found out over the past week too that Sami Zayn's contract was like, it's coming up before end of the year.
Yep.
Add to that NXT's own Johnny Gargano, who apparently has his contract coming up on December 3rd.
Oh.
Now I don't see I could see them re-signing Gargano in a New York
minute. Gargano will stay.
Gargano will stay, and they will throw money at him because of Adam Cole, basically. I'll be like, look, all right, here, just, sorry, stay. Do whatever you want. You want to stay in NXT? Fine, do it. Go. I think that it will be.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, talks are intensifying between Braun Strowman and Impact Wrestling, which I'm a fan of, mainly because I think it gets eyes on Impact. Eyes that aren't obviously there due to their TV
deal. Eyes that are deservedly to be there. Like, they deserve more eyes. Like, they deserve my eyes. Because basically, I just get the highlights on YouTube. Mm. But if they had a weekly episodic show on a damn decent TV channel, hell, I'll take about anything at this point. Like, BBC America, let's go.
On a channel that's covered by more than, like, one or two providers, right? Oh. And here's the thing. So this past week on Impact, you didn't see it, and just be told I didn't watch it either, because apparently they found my little back door, because now going to Impact Wrestling and going to that, you have to log in with your Impact Plus in order to see old episodes of Impact Wrestling. And so they closed that, but whatever. I'm going to finally sign up and do that whole, like, one of their lower level on YouTube. We need to have a better way to watch this. Seriously. This past week, you had Moose going against Eddie Edwards. They're setting up for this big 10-man tag next week. Team Christian, you know, Team Face versus Team Heel, right? Which, ironically, Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan are now, like, teaming up. It's very intriguing. It's very intriguing. You know, Moose was going after Alicia, Eddie Edwards' wife, after the match, right? Mm. Which is total heel shit. Total heel move, right?
I love it.
And Blackout, and Sami Callihan's there to save her. He's got two baseball bats. He hands one to Eddie Edwards.
Nice.
That's great stuff, especially when you know the long-term stuff. You had Carl Anderson and Rich Swann in a, what did they call it? It was a bunkhouse brawl. It was a hardcore match. It was whatever. You had more stuff with Decay going on. There was a little tease about Sue Young's stable maybe going after Alicia next, right? Stealing souls. I got Brandi Lauren in there. That's fantastic stuff. Steve Macklin and Petey Williams put on a legitimate banger of a match. I did go back and watch that match, and I went back and did find and watch Chris Bay versus David Finlay, which ended after the match with Chris Bay getting the assist on against Finn Juice by one Akuliu.
Nice.
And they're facing off Finn Juice versus Bullet Club Hakuliu. And I'm probably mispronouncing that. I know. Hakuliu and Chris Bay at Victory Road. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, so much good stuff. And that doesn't even go beside the fact that for their BTI, so their pre-show, which is on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken, actually. But their pre-show, before the Impact, had a match with John Skyler, who fought off. He was the guy that kind of surprised what's-his-face a couple weeks ago. But John Skyler versus Laredo Kid.
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
We've seen him live.
Laredo Kid won. We did at GCW. Oh, yeah. That's why I wore the GCW shirt today. But, yeah. Laredo Kid winning with a top rope Spanish fly against... Oh, man. So it's like, this is good shit. And their TV contract is just holding them back. It's true. It really is. Ugh. So, there's also a bunch of stuff, speculation AEW-wise. I know that lots of interviews going on. Ruby. Brian Danielson. Wow, it's gonna be. It's because he flip-flopped it. It's so hard to go backwards on it. And Adam Cole. Adam Cole teased Elite versus Bullet Club on his interview on the Asbury Park Press. So, yeah.
Did you watch Being the Elite? Did you get a chance to watch?
I have not watched Being the Elite yet. No.
They call back to a lot of the old stuff, which is great, like why they killed him in the first place, not to give anything away. And then like Kenny and him was great. And then he left. He's like, Hey guys, I'm, you know what? I love spending time with you guys. I'm going to go get a brewski with Hangman. I'm going to go get a brewski with Hangman. Like, you don't want to do that. Oh no. It's like instead of getting a brewski, why don't you get an energy drink? You know, he's like
a monster. which killed him, which poisoned him.
Yeah, we picked up the monster, looked at it, he's like, you know what? No, I'm gonna go with the bang. I'm gonna go with the bang. Like, good idea.
I'll probably go watch it when I edit this here. So, so there's all sorts of little stuff going out there. I mean, like you said, lots of setup going on AEW. So they're setting up things, doing different stuff. I did hear that long-term setup is planned next year. Rumor mill is that early next year, I'm thinking Revolution, Rosa Britt Baker 3.
Oh, yes.
And there's talk in behind the scenes about, setting it up, building it to be a big deal. And there's nothing off the table, apparently. Even a hair versus hair match, all sorts of things, So maybe a women's steel cage, but then again, you just had the steel cage match of the fucking century,
They need to do a women's ladder match. I called that shit out a long time ago that they go back and forth.
Match would
these two just need to go back and forth, ending, ending in a ladder match at a pay-per-view.
Right. And I think that unfortunately for Ruby, I think though, it's got to be for the belt.
100%.
So, I don't see them dropping the belt with Ruby so soon, giving her the belt so soon, because they have to turn around and give it back to Britt, if that's the thought. I think you lose something if you have these two with their culmination, their third match, right? Not be for the belt.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but that's the rumor mill for that. And then lastly, before we talk about Journey Pro here, or do you want to do Dynamite next?
Let's do Dynamite. Let's do Rampage real fast, because Rampage won't take very long. Because basically, right, cool. It's just Pac and Andrade. Let's be real.
Well, for the most part. Now, there's a couple other things there. But look, last little thing here I didn't want to say before I talk about Rampage was Deonna Purrazzo had a very good interview with Renee Paquette on Oral Sessions. Renee Paquette, who's now part of the Busted Open Radio family. You know, that monstrosity keeps growing. She's going to be...
So she's doing Oral Sessions and that? Or is she quitting Oral Sessions?
She's doing Oral Sessions and she's doing something else. She's going to kind of like appear at... You know how they have, because this is Dave
LaGreca. I think it's LaGreca.
Don't start. I'm the one that fucks up names. Stop it. Okay. Dave LaGreca. Dave, and they have mixture. So it's, you know, Tommy Dreamer's there sometimes, Bully Ray's there most of the time, yeah, but not always, you know. So I think that's what she's going to kind of swing in. And she's doing another secondary show with somebody from, I think maybe just her and Dave doing a different show. I don't know. But anyway, on Oral Sessions, she had Deonna Purrazzo, who arguably is the hottest women's champion in wrestling. Sorry, Britt. I mean, she's the Impact champion, and she's the AAA Reina de Reinas champion. I want to see the two of them go up to it. I really do. But it takes away from Thunder Rosa long term. I know. She was quoted as saying that she was considered leaving wrestling after her NXT experience. She said, quote, "I was just kind of emotionally drained from wrestling. That environment and that system just really didn't work for me as a person. I was just very much, this is such bullshit. This is not what I love about wrestling. I'm not even wrestling. I come to work and no one has valued me for any of my literal life accomplishments before I even got here. What is this worth? What have I done with my life?" And it keeps going on, right? You know, wow. It's like, holy shit. Like, one of the best women's wrestlers in the world right now. No, one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. I fucked up there. Sorry.
Yeah, you know,
one
of the best wrestlers.
Yeah, I no qualifying. It's 2021. One of the best wrestlers in the world now. And if you don't believe her, look at her shoulders. They're both covered in gold. And she almost was just like, fuck this, I'm out, right? It's like, wow.
Yeah, that's insane.
Wow. That's crazy talk. So, all right. That's what I had. Do you have any other little news bits or stories you wanted to get to?
The only thing I had news-wise was the G1 climax. They have the two blocks. They've announced both the blocks and everything there. So that's the only thing I know of. I think we went over the A block last time, right? Or did we even go over the blocks?
I don't think we went over the blocks. I don't honestly don't remember. I don't think we did, though.
So we'll go over A block. So A block has got Kenta, Shingo Takagi, Tonga Liao, Tetsuya Naito, Yujiro Takahashi, and that is your A block.
Okay.
And then your B block. This one looks pretty strong. Yoshihashi, Jeff Cobb, Sanada, Chase Owens, and a debut entry. Oh, he's a debut entry. I feel like they're missing somebody. They sure are.
That's less names.
Yeah.
Definitely names.
Yeah, because Okada's in it. What?
There's still no Ospreay, right?
Yeah, no Ospreay. Right. Kota Ibushi.
We got Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi's in there. Zack Sabre Jr., Tomohiro Ishii's in there, Great Okan's in it, and Toru Yano. So they're okay. God, I hate New Japan's effing site because I'm trying to get through this. And it's like, what? New Japan.
The site is laid out odd. Beside the fact that I know it's in Japanese, but you know, when you it feels old.
It feels like it still runs off of Java.
engineer for Mike for Internet Explorer 6.
Oof.
Sorry, New Japan. Sorry, that was low.
Yeah, that one hurt. All right, here we go. Regardless, New Japan making a big announcement. Yeah, John Moxley. I already knew about that.
Right. Because of, while you're looking that up, I will say because of them, AEW moving full gear, it does rule out John Moxley for the New Japan Strong show that they're going to be doing on the 13th in San Jose, because he's supposed to wrestle on that card.
Yeah,
and there's a big Comic-Con like show in New York, but it's, you know, for wrestlers and stuff like that, like a big meet and greet show, whatever, 2 days, super. I don't remember what it's called.
All right,
A lot of people are going to do that. Oh, you found it. Good.
Jesus. Okay. So I finally, I went to the site.
PW Insider. Yeah.
So Block A is Kota Ibushi, Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano, Shingo Takagi, Tetsuya Naito, Zack Sabre Jr., Great Okan, Kenta, Tonga Leo, Loa, and Yujiro Takahashi.
I mean, Block A is pretty fucking stacked.
Yeah, then you get to B. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Okada, that's all I gotta say. Hiroku Gato, Yoshihashi, Sanada, Taichi, Jeff Cobb, Evil, Tama Tonga, and Chase Owens. So basically, if you're looking at this from the outside, there are four people who could possibly win this thing.
Right.
Obviously, Okada.
Okada.
Evil, because he's big right now. He's over right now.
Right.
On that side.
Shingo.
Yeah, Shingo Takagi, and Kota Ibushi. Like, that's it. I don't see
Tanahashi.
You don't see Tanahashi.
Okay.
Or even Ishii. Ishii's doing good, but I would rather see Ishii go against Moxley, personally.
Interesting you got the Gorillas of Destiny on opposite sides.
I like that, though.
I want to see them go. I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, so I could see Evil and Okada coming out of Block B, and then Block A be Kota Ibushi and Shingo Takagi. It makes sense, because there's no way
under
God's green earth are they going to let their champion lose in this
thing. Oh, Shingo's for sure going to be coming out, no doubt.
Unless the Bullet Club attacks him.
He might not win at all, but he's not going to be, he's not going to pull a Young Bucks in the tag team tournament thing and lose in the first round, you know?
Yeah, which no one saw coming. Still haven't seen it.
Interesting. Still don't see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So good. I'm glad to get some New Japan news too.
Me too.
That's good to hear. And then once again on the 13th, same night as Full Gear, but their 13th of November is the San Jose show for New Japan Strong. I don't know when their Dallas show, because their Dallas show is supposed to be before that. They had four shows, and it was Dallas, San Jose. And it was three shows after LA. So it was Dallas, San Jose, and somewhere else. I can't remember where that somewhere else is. Yeah, I can't think of it. But that should be coming up before San Jose. Maybe not. Maybe that is the next New Japan Strong show. Which,
yeah, I don't know.
All right, we'll figure that out later. You know, I'll definitely get more into it. So I want to get to Journey Pro. So let's talk about Rampage real fast, okay? Yep. Right. Rampage from this Friday followed the theme of Dynamite from Wednesday. It very much was a lot of setup. They're getting ready for New York. This week they're going to be in Jersey. Both
the crowd's going to be hot.
Definitely going to be hot. They filmed Dark at the new Dark Zone, which I think is great because it's where the Impact Zone originated from, the same soundstage at Universal. So I thought that was a good touch. The Dark Zone. But they filmed like a big block of Dark in Orlando over the weekend, which I thought was cool. You can go online and see all the spoilers of what happened. I tried to stay away from them. I caught a couple. So I think Dark for the next couple of weeks is going to be there. But they're going to film a lot, I'm guessing, for Rampage on Wednesday. More than likely. But they're in Jersey. And then a week from tomorrow is the Grand Slam show at Arthur Ashe Stadium. That's going to be a show.
Yes.
So this was very much a setup, but they start off the show hot. They go Andrade Pac to start.
Yeah.
They start off both of them in the ring. So they did their entrances before. So no chance of getting a Suzuki incident or whatever, which I don't know. Did you see that about Minoru Suzuki?
No.
Apparently they cut off his theme song. Like, he got, like, him and New Japan got really hot because they cut off his theme song with, like, 10 seconds left in it. They let it play all the way through to do Wild Thing and let, you know, Moxie get the big pop because he's in his hometown and they're running low on time, right? Oh. So Tony Khan had, like, formally apologized to, like, New Japan officials and stuff because they were really pissed at him for it. So, and I'm just like, is that a thing? I don't know.
Well, because at the end, they do the shout. You know, they yeah. yell. I can't remember what they yell, but they yell something. It's escaping me at this hour. But, yeah, like, you shout something at the end of it, and I think that's what they're looking for. But no one was going to do it in Cincinnati. Like, hello.
It's Moxie's home. I mean, you got to use a little whatever. But he's one of the elder statesmen as well. He's not that old, but you know what I mean. Yeah. You know, of wrestling, he is for Japan. So, anywho. So, they're already in the ring, though. And we go right to the start from them. And, my God. Like, I said we deserve to get this match on a pay-per-view.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we couldn't because of things, right? You know. But they gave it to us. This was a 17-minute match to start Rampage. And it was baller. The two of them are fantastic as top of their game. And they did all the stuff. It was great. It was awesome. At the end, Andrade's translator guy, Jeff, let's call him, or Jose, I don't know, whoever the fuck he is. He gets up on the ring and is like, distracting the ref. And then Chavo comes in and uses the tablet to hit Pac, which Andrade doesn't see. He goes over, though, and covers him, gets the pin, gets the victory. And as they're leaving, he kind of finds out what happens. And he clocks Chavo halfway up the ramp.
Interesting.
It was interesting. The Lucha Brothers weren't at ringside, by the way. You know, Pac apparently sent them back. And, you know, when they came in, they came out afterwards, kind of shielded and did all that. But, yeah, Andrade turning on Chavo already. Is this going to be a domination thing where he's going to ask him to be subordinate? Or is he getting Chavo to the cur? I don't know.
I think he wanted to win clean. Know. And the fact that he didn't win clean got him pissed, which shows honor and respect to Pac, which will also show honor and respect to the Lucha Bros to get them
over. You think he's doing manipulation to get the...
100%.
Okay. See, my thought is maybe he's kicking him to the curb so he could have Ric Flair be his, like, corner man.
Oh, know? God.
Let me tell you something, brother.
I can't do Ric Flair. You know who could actually do a really good Ric Flair?
Like, that's not even close to Ric Flair. That's Macho.
Yeah. You know who could do a really good Ric Flair?
Who's that?
Freaking Kenny Omega.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did it on Being the Elite. It was so good.
I'll have to check that out. Okay.
I can't do it. So, I can just do Macho Man. Like, yeah.
Just do Dig it. So after that, I mean, you had a bunch of promos. Darby and Sting, they responded to Tully Blanchard, and they accepted the match, and then they get jumped by, you know, Sean Spears, whatever. You had exclusive comments from Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson.
Of course you did.
It still is what it is. And then you had two other matches. So you had the women's six-way trios match. You had Britt Baker, Rebel, or Rebel.
Rebel. You call her. You gotta call her Rebel.
And Jamie Hayter versus Riho, not Rebel, but Riho, Statlander, and Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby. This is actually a very entertaining match, you know. It had good stuff. I had a good showcase for Riho. Haven't seen her on TV in a while, so it was good to see her. I want to see them do something more with the whole I wasn't eliminated bit, because I feel that's why she's here.
Yeah.
But they're not really doing it. So anyway, I still am of the opinion that Thunder Rosa makes better sense to fit in other than Statlander, both to set up, lay those seeds for Baker, and to start... Lane, because they put a seed in the ground for us at All Out for Thunder Rosa and Ruby. God damn, I want that.
Oh, I want that.
I want that. And then I want them to go back and forth with Baker. Those three, you can almost, in my opinion, you can almost separate them from the rest of the women's division, have them fight over other stuff and pop in and out once every once in a while. But those three, I think, are your cornerstone, in my humble opinion. So... But it was fun. It was good stuff. You got to see everybody do their things. Ruby ended up doing her. I don't know what she's calling it now. It was the riot kick in WWE. But whatever her name that she gives it.
Yeah.
JR called it a Pele kick on TV.
Nice. That's not Pele. It's more. It is a soccer kick. It's a soccer kick.
It's kind of like a roundabout. Anyway, they get the win, and so there's that. And then you had Max Caster versus Brian Pillman Jr. for your main event.
That's great.
I want to repeat that. For your main event on a major U.S. promotions show, you had Max Caster versus Brian Pillman Jr. And just because they were there, it was good. They look good. Max looked great. Brian Pillman's getting better. Pillman, of course, got the win, got that hometown pop, get that cheap pop. And then after the match, Bowens is going to come in and hit him with the box, and he gets saved by Moxley. Not should have been Griff. For continuity, for cheap pop, they brought Mox out.
Yeah, hometown heat. Let's go.
It is what it is. So that was Rampage. So like I said, it was a fine episode. Here's the thing. I don't mind episodes like this because it's almost like a recognition of their time slot, right?
Yeah.
Like I know this isn't the best. I'm going to give you some good stuff, but I'm not going to overload you. It's going to be fun and enjoyable, but it's not going to be like the banger, Dynamite episodes they do, like Fight for the Fall and stuff like that, right? So it is what it is. It was good fun.
Yeah,
that was Rampage.
Nice.
All right, Journey Pro. So Walter and DJ did indeed spill the beans. We don't know if we're going to get to. They got a lot going on this week, so we don't know if we're going to get to do our interview before the show with them. So, quick turnaround for this show. It happens. If not, we will definitely get one after the show, before their next show for sure. So,
yep.
Friday, Edwardsville, Kansas, Edwardsville City Park.
Yep.
All our shows are secret shows.
Which I love. I love the name.
Yeah, and they just kept it at that. So what is the card? Because the full card was announced today, Jamie. And my God. It's got some bangers. And here's the thing. You can't go to their website and look it up.
Which I love.
He released it only on Twitter. So you have to go to Journey Pro's Twitter.
And if you're there,
follow.
It's on their Facebook as well now.
All right. So it's probably easier to read on Facebook.
Yes, it is.
I'm never on Facebook. I'm on Twitter.
Yeah, anyway. All right. So we'll just start with the very beginning. Okay? So we have the premiere, which is Campbell Myers, SK Bishop, and Camaro Jackson. SK Bishop is also known as Quadzilla.
Which is great.
Yeah, he's got the biggest like tree trunk legs I think I've ever seen. Going against Trevor Outlaw, Angel Escalera, and Darian Bankston, who we've seen a few times.
We saw the premiere in Anarchy in their first show back, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah. Then we have an MLW alum in Kevin Koo. I've only seen him once, like in highlights. Never actually watched him wrestle, but he is gonna get his ass ruled by War Horse, baby. War Horse rules ass. That's all I know.
Oh, it's gonna be fucking War Horse. Gotta get more War Horse in my life, and we're going to.
So this next match, I'm calling it, might steal the show. This one might steal the show. And the one called Manders versus Moonshine Mantel.
Oh, y'all, yes.
Because
I think the main events are stellar, but this match was like, ooh. You like big, you like a lot of beef in the ring.
Who hit each other really effing hard. Here you go. So then we also get two Journey Pro debuts in the same match, in a triple threat match. You have Lainey Luck, who's coming back, so we get to hear our favorite song. She's going against Christy Janes, which we've seen her a few times. Sarah the Rebel. I've never seen her.
I have not either, but I did go, the ones that I wasn't familiar with, which first of all, women's match back again. I know there's some, there were some issues with Missouri and everything. This was in Kansas, was probably easier to book for those who haven't been here before, for the debut people. But getting a women's match, getting to see Lainey Luck again, fantastic. So I went and looked up a bunch of the people that are part of the card that we hadn't seen before. Just kind of checked around on Twitter, see who they were, followed them and everything. She's my new, she's my secondary spirit animal. Fala Ba from is still my spirit animal. But she is not far behind me. She's, her Twitter is hilarious. She's got a good shtick to her, you know. So I think it's going to be interesting, and I'm excited to see that. And be great to see Lainey, because Lainey has been killing it lately. So.
Yeah, she showed up on Dark, but for 4 matches, she looked great.
Yeah, 4 matches, 3 times.
Yeah, so she looked great. So half of the Enlightenment and Luke Langley is going to go against Cody Lane. Never heard of Cody Lane, so I'm pretty excited to see what he can bring to the table. The heavy metal heartthrob himself, hair metal heartthrob, I'm sorry, Dallas Cade going against JDX, which that dude can go. If you have, go check out his Twitter.
Yeah, you go watch him. It's his debut as well in Dirty Pro.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to it. Now, I'm going to pause right here. So, will Dallas Cade do what Jamie begged him to do when we interviewed him a few weeks back? And do the lion tamer at the show?
I wouldn't call it begging.
Will he fuck with Jamie?
I won't call it begging.
Yeah, you weren't begging. You weren't begging, but you were definitely...
pining.
You definitely asked.
Pining.
There we go. But yeah. Pining for a lion tamer.
I just want to see one.
We'll
see what in the wild we're
gonna get going on Twitter, and let's see what happens. I want him to tease you and pull it away.
So do I. Actually, I'll probably laugh my ass off harder if that happens.
You want it? He said he was gonna do that. He's gonna be like, "Oh, Jamie, it's coming, it's coming," and then just walk away and be like, "Ha ha ha."
I know.
We'll see.
After that, we have a tag team match of Thumbs and Buns going against Merc, who's the guy with the bazooka from the very 78 Weeks Later, and the Huntsman, him. Jay Martson.
Well, I feel like I have seen before, but he didn't look familiar to me. For
some I've reason. Heard the name, but then I saw the face, so I'm like, that's not who I thought that person was.
I don't know. Well, it's like I kind of recognize, I couldn't place him.
So yeah.
I probably have seen him somewhere, one of these IWTV something or another. I don't know.
And then we finally get to see JJ Garrett go against Lainey Lux, fiance, and GPA.
I know.
I'm looking forward to that. We've seen GPA one time, and he was really good.
We've seen him once. We've seen Garrett several. Garrett's been killing it too, by the
yes.
way. Give a shout out to JJ. So
yeah,
and he's got a great first name.
Yeah, so. JJ Garrett, pretty fun. All right, the co-main event of the night. Not the 100% main event, but the co-main event.
These both fuck, by the way. Just saying.
We get Jeremy Wyatt versus Kenny Alfonso for the Gateway Heritage Championship under pure wrestling rules.
My God. Of course, pure wrestling rules with Jeremy Wyatt, but yes.
I'm hoping, like, it should be a pro Kenny. It better be a pro Kenny.
Crowd. Oh, it's gonna be heavily pro
Kenny. I mean, I'll be still yelling at Land Tamer. It's gonna happen a lot.
I would expect nothing less.
But no, I really actually this is the moment that I'm really hoping Kenny Alfonso gets this, and he gets the other championship, so he's covered dripping in gold.
I mean, you gotta give him these titles before he moves up to the big bigs.
Because it's gonna happen quick.
Yeah, he ain't going to be coming down for a little hometown promotion with his schedule he's going to have in very short order.
Yeah.
Shout out Kenny Alonzo. We need to interview him before he gets too big.
Yes, 100%. So we say we did it. Yep. I knew it before he got big.
I know.
All right. Then your main event, which was set up completely at the last show. Actually, it started at 78 Weeks Later. Then Weekend at Journeys.
Technically, it started the last show before the pandemic.
Yes, it did. Really? In fairness. Let's talk about long-term storytelling. All right. Gary J and Christian Rose versus none other than the Howlets of Anaya and my boy Hoodie Howlett.
Two T's. Hashtag heel shit.
Yes. Oh, God. I can't wait for that one. That match was going to fuck.
That's going to be so... Woo! It's going to fuck. It's going to... I mean, this card is fantastic. Get some new faces in there. And I like the fact that it's not... You know, it's like Everett Connors. It's great to see him, right? Mm-hmm. And we saw some other ones. But, you know, you don't... A little bit of variety. We get some other new faces coming in, which is... great. I love that. It's the returning people. We get to see a women's match again, you know? And, yeah, I know they want to do more, but, you know, trying to book is always a thing, you know? Especially on Fridays. It's a weird travel day for a lot of wrestlers, it turns out. But, I mean, you get the meat match between Manders and Martel and Moonshot. It's just both main events going to be stellar.
War Horse is always Dallas good. Is God.
Fucking Wars. If only we could get like Warhausen, that'd have been great. We gotta see Warhausen.
We did see Warhausen.
We if you didn't check out our All Out thing, once again, go listen to our All Out thing. We talk about meeting Danhausen at Giordano's Pizza.
Out of character.
Out of character. And shooting the shit with him. So, you know, I hope to see him, but love me some Warhausen. This car top to bottom, I thought it was going to be good. Oh my God, this car is amazing. And for such a quick turnaround from the last show, too. Kudos. Great.
Yeah, dude, this is going to be a fun show. I can't believe it's free, just to be honest with you. I mean, Chrissy Jane's coming to Kansas City. That's a big deal. She's been on AEW. She's been everywhere. Like,
she was on Empower. She was on NWA's Empower pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course, bringing back Lenny Luck. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's just so many good ones here. I am very, very much looking forward to Friday. I knew I was going to like it regardless of what happened, knowing the card or not. And now I know the card has made me even that much more excited for it.
I am so pumped, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be dry. 8 o'clock at night, so no sun to burn me. Not wearing a tank top anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, 65 degrees, 68 degrees. Fantastic fall evening. Come out, Edwardsville, Kansas. If you are close to Kansas City this Friday, you want to check out some wrestling, come on out. Outdoor show. Don't need to worry about COVID. We can distance. Everything's good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic card.
It's going to be a kick-ass show. 100%. And find us. We'll be in Total Spot Fest shirts. At least I will be. I don't know if you're going to wear yours, but I'll wear my Total Spot Fest shirt.
I think my stuff's clean. Yeah. I probably will. I think I'll wear my Spot Fest Club shirt. Sure. We need to get you some more spot. We need more t-shirts, right? I mean, I'm still going through. I haven't yet worn all the t-shirts from Chicago.
I know. My wife legit told me this morning. She's like, I have a stack of t-shirts for you to go through because I can't fit them into the dresser right now. It's like, oh, great. So I need to clean out. So I'll be getting rid of all of my old WWE ones.
Yeah, I'm gonna purge probably, you know, after the week, because I go, I actually have a concert on Friday, first concert back, after COVID and everything, and then we got Journey Pro. So the rest of the weekend, I'm gonna do some fall cleaning. I'm gonna do some purging of stuff, because yeah, I have to leave my shirts on the drying rack until I get enough room to move them over.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right. So. Check us out. If you can't make it, you can definitely watch the live stream. They've got most of the bugs ironed out. This one should be good. As long as they get a decent internet connection. I mean, it's a city park. But twitch.tv/Journey2Anarchy. Journey Pro will be, excuse me, it will be live streaming it there. They have fantastic commentary. So if you can't make it live, you're just chilling at home, whatever, you want to take it easy, Put on some Journey Pro in the background for you.
Absolutely.
All right.
So I thought something that would be really fun, and something I know that you will definitely appreciate, because every now and again, ladies and gentlemen, we like to do this day in history specifically to wrestling, but we're actually going to go outside of wrestling right now, because I actually have two things. So the very first thing that happened on this day, and this is recorded on September 13th. And September 13th, 1921, was the grand opening of the first ever White Castle in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
I knew you would like that.
I love me some White Castle. Fun fact, opened in Wichita, Kansas. There's not a White Castle in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, that's messed up, isn't it?
Very messed up. And the closest one to it is in Columbia, Missouri.
Yep.
We definitely did. I made sure, because we got out of All Out, we were hungry.
Yes.
had a terrible pretzel at the arena, and that's pretty much all we had. Too. We had lunch before we went to like the thing, but then we drank and outside in the sun, terrible pretzel, couple bottles of water. We were starving when we got out. So we're driving down the street, and I'm like, all right, Jamie, get on Google, find me some food. I don't care what it is. I want to find food.
Yep.
Like, turn left here, then turn left, and you've got, there's a McDonald's, there's a Taco Bell, there's a Wendy's, there's a White Castle. Like, we're going to White Castle. I didn't even care.
Yeah.
Straight to White
Castle. We sat in line for an hour, too.
For a solid hour. Yes. He's not exaggerating. It was an hour. I know that for a fact, but God damn, it was worth it. If you don't like White Castle, okay, I understand. I get it. Everybody's different, but I love me some White Castle. Great little fun fact there. Kick ass, Jane.
Yes.
What is your other thing?
So, fun thing here, in 1997,
okay,
WCW held Fall Brawl, and the main event... Okay. Was the NWO versus the Four Horsemen in War Games of Buff Bagwell, Kevin Nash, Six, and Conan versus Chris Benoit, Steve McMichael, who was terrible, Ric Flair, and Kurt Hennig. This is the one where
back when Hennig was still alive.
NWO like got Flair's head into the door and was just beating him. McMichael submitted for his team to stop hurting Flair. That's how it ended. And I think right after that is when Hennig, jumped ship over to the NWO.
Right.
And actually, the funny thing is the next year, because that one actually, where did it happen at? Sorry, it happened in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the heart of Flair country. In 1998, on Nitro, a year later, in Greenville, South Carolina, also Flair country. This is the one where Flair came back because he missed a Thunder taping so he could watch his son compete in wrestling, which is
right.
That's a shoot. So they suspended him, and they refused to give him the night off, so Flair took it off anyway. Bischoff got super pissed. It was a real life situation that was incorporated into a storyline. It was
a whole
thing. It made for a very memorable moment because it was a hell of a promo by Flair.
Right. And everybody, I remember when that happened, you know, everybody was just like, everybody assumed, because that was during the time still. That's right at the height of the Monday Night War, right? You know? And Flair had been part of both sides along with a lot of other people. So everybody assumed that, WWE got him back.
Yeah.
You know, that's what everybody thought. And then they're kind of promo out in their tuxes. They do the whole thing. And Arn Anderson goes, oh, I forgot the fourth member, Four Horsemen, Ric Flair. And he comes back out and just like,
yeah,
it was so good. That promo, classic Flair. It was fantastic.
So the reason I bring this one up is because many a time in wrestling history have the lines been blurred on reality and storyline.
I hear you.
So I am asking you, sir, what is your favorite moment where the lines were blurred and reality became storyline?
Okay. Favorite. See, I don't know if I can give you.
Most memorable. Like, how about that?
I'll give you some of the ones that come to my head at first. Generally speaking, that a lot of times it has to do with relationship stuff.
Yep.
But you've got the whole Lita and Hardy Boys.
That's thing. The first thing that came to my head too.
I mean, because it was. I love Lita to death, right? You know, and Matt Hardy's great. You know, whatever he's pumping out children like they're going out of style. I mean, it's like let the woman rest, Matt. Jesus Christ! But they just had their fours, and he immediately announced that they're pregnant again. It's like son of a bitch. You know how this works. Settle down.
Yeah.
but that at the time, and apparently it was. It was every bit as scandalous as they wanted us to think it was, you know, going on there. And for what it's worth, times being what they were, Lita actually took the brunt of heat at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not fair. Not fair to her. But it was some shit. And there's a couple times you would see Hardy on one of these dirty, like, gut-wrenching promos done to him. And you see his face, and you're just like, well, don't do that to him on TV. Don't do that to him. It was real. And so that's the first one that I think that comes into my head.
And the thing about that, you know, too, if it wasn't for that storyline, the rated R superstar would have never existed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Edge needed that because he was a mid-card.
He did. Which is kind of sad to say that that's an affair, a scandalous affair. Because, I mean, they weren't married, but, you know, she cheated on him with her. You know, an affair led to his big push on the company. Mm-hmm. Different times, though. I mean, you had that. There was a similar, but a little bit more tame, the whole Miss Elizabeth and Macho stuff.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Kind of coming through. I know they've been tried to recreate that. I know that at a time in TNA, they had Jay Lethal with SoCal Val, who they were dating, but it never was as serious necessarily.
Yeah.
And I think that their character work got strung on more than their relationship actually was at, and that kind of killed the relationship because they were just like, whatever. But there was that. I mean, I can't think of anything other than like relationship stuff. Can you of anything? I mean, I know there's been a few instances we talked about in the past, like ECW stuff, guys that generally hated each other and it bled into matches.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few of those. There's been, like when Eddie died, you know, that became storyline for a while for Chavo. You know, like,
oh,
yeah, you know, validating his family's existence in WWE, which, right, I thought was terrible. With, like, it was just like, I appreciate you trying.
And they put Vicky in his corner, and it's just like,
it was weird. Yeah, that got Vicky on TV. Legit, his death got Vicky on TV,
which is a shame to say. You know,
yeah,
say what you want about Vicky.
But I love me some Vicky. You know, the excuse me is the most annoying thing of all time, but still,
yeah,
you know, if it wasn't for that, she wouldn't be on TV. And what they did with Chavo with that big push there, you know, like when Hawk of the Legion of Doom was really drunk all the time, and they started to play off of that because he was coming in drunk all the time, and the next thing you know, he dies from it. It's like, wow, don't you guys feel like a bunch of dicks? You know,
there's a good number of those moves that happen. I mean, you had, talking about Chavo, you had Chavo legitimately quitting WCW on TV.
Yes.
Which was like, this is a shoot, right? This has got to be. Nope.
Yeah, he left.
Oh, but I mean, and you know, you had a lot of stuff in that time too, where they played off of things going on the other show. I think, though, for the most part, though, it always related to something, you know, family-wise, like, it was coming through, you know? So,
I mean, the pipe...
I'm sticking with that.
The pipe bomb, I mean, that one was, like, got really real. And, like, the promos between Triple H and CM Punk, I know you weren't watching at that time, but those two went at it they both did not like each other. Like, still, one of the most famous lines from the whole thing to me was when Triple H looked at CM Punk and goes, you need to get up your skinny, fat ass into the gym, you know, because he's skinny but flabby, you know, like, in his mind.
Yeah.
It is so, like, God. And the B-plus player thing, that was legit. That is a line from Vince McMahon's fucking mouth about Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson.
Right, that app, you're not wrong at all. I mean, facilitated the Yes Movement, which, I mean, there was a lot of reality in that. I mean, because that was at the time when, you know, they were starting to bring in all the indies people, right? Mm-hmm. And Vince was not sold on any of them.
Yep.
Case in point, Daniel Bryan, B-plus player. right? You know, but all of them, you know, the whole indie movement thing, you know, and so the Yes movement had a lot of grounds in, you know, reality. And the fact that he was up against, for part of it, was up against Randy Orton, was very poignant, because Orton's been very against indies as well. Mm-hmm. He had the fortune of beginning and staying in only WWE from the time he started wrestling. Yeah, he's
born and bred WWE.
A lot of them are. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, yeah, I can't really think of many other types of instances. I wish there was a little bit more, but yeah, that definitely, I'm sure there are, I just can't think of it. I'll tell you what, I'm sticking with my whole thing, Lita and the Hardys. That's got to be my one.
Yeah.
But give us a comment down below some other ones. We had some times where the lines got blurred and kayfabe was broken and brought into the storyline. Let us know some of your favorites. Tweet us at ToastBotFest. Leave a comment down below if you're on YouTube. We want to hear. We want to get more of these. These are fun.
Yes, they're absolutely fun. I thought everybody would enjoy this little stroll down memory lane there, if you will, of one of the most memorable kayfabe moments, like breaking kayfabe. I enjoyed it. That whole Bischoff and Flair. I
totally forgot about that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it just happened to be on the This Day in History type thing. So,
And then about a year later, they had, it was when the Rise of Goldberg, he took the belt off of Hogan, and they're at the Georgia Dome. They sold out the Georgia Dome for Nitro. The Georgia Dome's a football stadium. They sold out the Georgia Dome for a goddamn Nitro. And it was, at the time, it was just like this spectacle, right? And as soon as that happened, that was the peak. And then WCW just...
Yeah. Goldberg ran the gauntlet that night. I still remember that. He beat three NWO members just to get to Hogan. And then
Beat
Hogan.
Beat Hogan pretty bad. They had Karl Malone there at ringside running interference. Karl Malone.
All I could think of that,
people going ape shit, throwing streamers and toilet paper and everything. It was a hell. I remember, like, I was hanging out, I was doing stuff with my friends, whatever, and I booked it because I'm like, I gotta go watch Nitro. Mm-hmm. Like, you nerd, like, fuck yes, I'm out. Alright, so we'll be back on Thursday. We'll talk about Dynamite, give you a final kind of preview of Journey Pro. All our shows are secret shows. Once again, don't share any of this on social media. That's the rule.
Mm-hmm.
But be there, 8 p.m. Friday night, Edwardsville, Kansas, City Park. Good times, pre-show. Give a donation at the door. Let's go. It's going to be a great thing. So we'll be back on Thursday. We'll recap everything that happened to Journey Pro next Tuesday. So look out for that. And then the following Saturday, we have the Dynamic Wrestling Federation, a new promotion starting up here in Kansas City. We're going to. So we'll talk about that next week, because that sounds like fun too. So indoor, a little bit of a more traditional show-ish sort of thing. So it'd be interesting to see the juxtaposition between a Journey Pro show, because they definitely have that rhythm. Right, of what a Journey Pro show is.
Yep.
Versus a traditional promotion, right? So, let's see. So, yeah. Anything else you want to talk about, Jamie?
No, I think we got a lot in today.
We did. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We will see you next time. Take us home.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down with Total Spot Fest, I have 7 words for you. I know.
Your words are ballooning, by the way. Is it 3, 5?
I'm sorry. You know, at least I'm trying to keep them on. All right. Friday night, be there or be square?
Get a better one on Thursday. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Peace.